Welcome to Voices of NCAJ. We're talking to members of the North Carolina Advocates for Justice about what it means to be a trial lawyer, what it takes to be great at the practice of law, and how being a part of NCAJ enriches their lives and careers. Produced and powered by Law Pods.
Welcome, everyone, to Voices of NCAJ, the podcast for the North Carolina Advocates for Justice. I am Amber Nimix, your host and Director of External Affairs. Before we get started, I'd like to thank our Circle of Leadership Gemstone level members for supporting NCAJ's mission and this podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see a list of Circle of Leadership firms at the end of the podcast. To find out how your firm can join the circle, go to ncaj.com/circle. My guest today is Martha Ramsey. She is the founder of Ramsey Law Firm, where she specializes in workers' compensation, and managing partner of the personal injury firm Dewey Ramsey & Hunt, PA, in Charlotte. She is a board-certified specialist in workers' compensation law and the author of North Carolina Workers' Compensation Law, A Practical Guide to Success at Every Stage of a Claim, chapter on rehabilitation professionals. Martha has been an NCAJ member for 33 years and has served in a variety of leadership roles and presented at innumerable workers' comp CLEs. Later this month, she will participate in the 31st Annual Workers' Comp Roundtable CLE as part of the panel, Who You Gonna Call? Doctors for Every Issue. If you'd like to register for that CLE, you can go to ncaj.com/events. It will be held at NCAJ headquarters in Raleigh on April 10, and it is open to members of NCAJ's workers' comp section only. Martha, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Amber. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
So you have been a member, I went back and counted for you. You've been a member of NCAJ for more than three decades. How did you first come to get involved in the organization?
Oh, I've actually been an NCAJ member ever since I was really a lawyer. I started work for Allen Bailey's law firm. Allen B, or double A, as those of us who work for him used to know, was a founding member of the NCAJ. And I remember the trips he would make driving from Charlotte to Raleigh on a regular basis. It wasn't that telephone conference calls weren't always done and they didn't have Zoom or anything like that. So Allen put in the miles to go to Raleigh for NCAJ meetings. And what I found that Allen instilled in us was it was crucial for lawyers to learn from other lawyers, not just the letter of the law, but how to actually get things done, how to get things done in the courtroom, how to get things done in the legislature. And that was why he was so devoted to NCAJ. And he passed that along to many, many, many of us across the state. And I'm one of them.
Awesome. So yeah, I noted on your member record that you have been an NCAJ member for about 1 month less than you have been a practicing attorney. So what was it like to go to work for Allen Bailey? That was your first job out of law school?
Yeah. It was, Allen knew tons of people across the state and would always be able to give me, if I didn't know the answer to a question, be able to give me a resource. But I'll tell you, on my first day, as a new lawyer, I walked in and no one else really knew I was coming. And Allen walked me down to an office and there was a stack of paper files on it. And Allen said, read through those and tell me what you think. Then I was off. So that was my training at the law firm to be able to be ready for being a new lawyer.
Yeah, as I was saying before we got on the call, I started my professional career out of undergrad as a journalist at the same time that you were graduating from law school. It was a different era. That was very much like my first day in my first job. They're like,
where it's just like, good luck, here it is.
Yep, there it is. Your story's due at 3:15 because my editor had a tea time that he intended to keep every day at 4. And so the workplace looked a little differently for our generation when we started out.
For sure. And this was one of the things, kind of Allen's sort of idea about NCAJ was really reproduced in the firm was, obviously there was a law library. Remember that back when we had law libraries, you walked into law libraries and pulled books down. There was the law library that you could figure out the letter of law, but we were a pretty big firm. We actually had, I think, eight attorneys at one point. And so each lawyer sort of had their specialty. So I could go around to sort of any of the lawyers and be like, hey, you got a minute? Here's my question. And as long as you were prepared with enough facts, they would, you know, give you a hand and give you some instruction on what was going to go on. So there wasn't a formal training method or program that you went through, but there were plenty of resources and you just had to step up and start to use them. I don't know if your journalism was the same way, where there were resources for you.
Oh, yeah. I started my career in a bureau office, so it was just a couple of us in there. But when I moved to the main newsroom at the Fayetteville Observer, it was just, you learned from just sitting, because it's, you know, it's a big open room just full of people on the phone. And there were some reporters there who were just so good at interviewing. And like, you just listen to them on the phone and you would be like, huh, that's how it's done. Almost everybody was willing to help you and give you advice. And like, I think that it's so important, especially I read a lot about new grads entering the workforce today and how like, it's like pulling eye teeth for some of them to get them into the office space. And I'm like, that's invaluable. If you're new in a field or even new to a firm or to a company, I don't know what I would do if I couldn't have gone in there and just like learned and watched other people at work, you know?
And absolutely, that's one of the things the attorneys enjoy at our office. I mean, we have some accessibility to work remotely, but the attorneys enjoy coming in because sometimes you just have a chance to walk down the hall and say, I got this problem. What do you think? And somebody can take 4 minutes and just give you some feedback. It's really very helpful.
So when was it that you decided that you were going to become a lawyer?
Oh, I never had a grand plan to be a lawyer. I was never a person who was like, oh, when I was six, I was going to be a lawyer. I thought I might have almost more likely been a journalist, maybe, because I think that was very interesting. I was an econ major and who didn't want to work in the bank and liked theater. So I got into law school, went to the University of Buffalo, and I had a great experience doing moot court. Shout out to my moot court folks, Rob Sardinia, Mike Joint, for helping me along. But we had a great opportunity for moot court there. And that was what I think really sort of convinced me that this lawyering stuff could be fun. Be something that is intriguing, that is challenging, that is changing, but also that you can influence. I didn't ever feel that as an econ major going into banks or bank regulations, I would be able to influence anything or change anything. And that's what's really enjoyable about being in law.
And how did you wind up in the workers' comp as your focus, as your specialty?
Oh, stumbled in it. I don't know how many folks say I want to be a work comp lawyer when they go to law school either. Maybe some, but I did a variety of work at Allen's law firm. So I did some family law, I did business law, I did some criminal law. Obviously, we did a ton of personal injury cases as well. But workers' comp lets you really change outcomes for people. A lot of my clients are very happy at the end of their case. So I would have family law clients who were just miserable because something they loved was ending or there was some kind of spite. The corporate clients would be like, whatever, you did what I paid you to do. Okay. You know, the criminal law, hardly any of the criminal folks walk out being like, yay, that was a great experience, me and the criminal law. But the work comp folks, I could actually change things for people that could see a difference. And they were usually happy at the end. So I really enjoy that area of it.
Cool. And so, as I said in the intro, you've had a variety of leadership roles. You were in NCAJ and other organizations, but you did a turn on the Board of Governors. Is that right?
I haven't served on the Board of Governors yet. And now you've outed me. So how did I find my way into leadership? NCAJ just has this amazing group of people who volunteer hours and hours of their time. And I would go and kind of see it, advantage of it. I mean, I would see these people putting in time for making great CLEs. I would see people working hard at the legislature. I served on the Education Committee and Membership Committee for a number of years and knew that someday it would be my turn. I knew that all these other people had done this work and they had been passing the work down to sort of the next group that would come along and take the heavy workload. So Neil Kamek and Frank Briccio called me and said, would you be the chair, get in line to be the chair for the work comp section? And I gave them probably a million qualifiers about how I was going to be limited in this. And I wasn't sure that I could do that. And like, how much would actually be expected of me, because I was just really concerned about meeting the standards of all the other lawyers that I'd seen. But you know what? The group had me. I mean, you just would not even believe the work comp section folks. They're like, we got you, Martha. You know, Kevin Bunn doing legislative, Zach Deckery, Stuart Poisson, Bob Bollinger, you know, a lot of folks just picking me up. Sheila Chavis, incredibly helpful, picking me up and giving me instructions and giving me guidance. And you know what it turned out, Amber? It was a ton of fun. I mean, it was cool. I got to see the legislative stuff, which you don't always see as a section member. I got to see the other lawyer stuff. And, you know, I got to develop a good relationship with the NCAJ staff, who were just like delightful, patient, thank goodness, and delightful to work with. So I would encourage anyone who has any interest in kind of returning back to service, giving back to all the lawyers who've given to them, who've gone ahead, put some time in. It's not going to be as bad as you think it's going to be, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So don't be afraid to step into some leadership roles.
Awesome. All right. We're definitely going to clip that and use it for recruitment for section leadership next year. Absolutely. The Workers' Comp Roundtable has been up and running for almost as long as you and I have been professional working adults. This coming edition is its 31st Workers' Comp Roundtable. I don't know too many other programs that can like claim that kind of longevity.
Workplace Torts in December is the one is going to match that.
Yeah. So what is it that makes this program and Workplace Torts, but I guess specifically this one since we're leading up to it, what makes this one so valuable to members of the section?
Yeah. So there are two sort of completely different ideas about these two CLEs that the work comp section runs. And so the first, this roundtable, is really important because it's members only. An opportunity for us to talk very frankly about what we see going on in the workers' compensation section. So we can talk about cases that are problems. We can talk about how we're seeing different medical providers respond to things, kind of trends we're seeing in our own practice. We can bring specific issues. I mean, it just gives you access to an incredible brain trust of attorneys. First of all, experienced attorneys who've been out there for a long time, but also, you know, younger attorneys who are just running with the cases and having to really see what's actually going out, boots on the ground. So a chance to hear from kind of experienced folks, but also folks with boots on the ground who are every day running through these problems. And how do you get feedback on that? How do you understand what's going on in a broader picture to help figure out your problems with your cases? It's really unusual.
Yeah. And this time you're going to, I don't know if this is always the format, but there's going to be more breakouts where you work in smaller groups around different issues. Is that right?
So the roundtable traditionally has always kept more space open for just those general kind of unscripted discussions between the attorneys. So usually, and Jesse Shapiro and Mike Vertex have done a great job of putting something forward this year to help for kind of trial prep, like more of a basic how to run a case. So we're going to start with sort of who do you call pre-lit issues and how do we deal with doctors and getting evidence? And then there's a really great group that's going to talk about getting ready for a hearing and a group that's going to talk about post-hearing issues. And then there's breakout sessions after those. So, you know, bring your questions, bring your problem cases. That's really what this is. Let's do some more detailed hard work on these issues.
So very hands-on.
Very hands-on. You're not going to get a smarter group of attorneys to get feedback from on your specific problems with your cases. So come and join us. It's always fun, too. They always make it fun.
Yeah, the workers' comp section has such a esprit de corps. You guys really hang very tough and very tight, you know? It's always nice to be at your CLEs or your section events and see that. I don't know if there's something about the practice or if it's just, it's a terrific group of lawyers, or I don't know what the magical ingredient is.
I don't know exactly. I think we fight all the same battles. And, you know, so many people in this section had attorneys give to them. And so they're willing to give back. I mean, again, I remember I was stuck on an issue in a workers' comp case and in the way back day. And Alan Bailey said, call this guy. And it was Hank Patterson. doing legislative work and like a well-known, respected attorney, and I'm just this little nobody. And I called Hank because no one in my firm could answer the question. I called Hank, gave me 10 minutes and great suggestions. And, you know, I'll never forget that he was willing to take that time to help me out. And I've done that, you know, for lots of lawyers who've called me and wanted to do that. That's how we kind of keep it going, how we pay it forward.
What has being an NCAJ member meant to you personally and professionally?
It gave me an education I wouldn't have gotten anywhere else. How to run a law firm. You know, I know that's not exactly on the NCAJ agenda, but we talk about it. It gives you an opportunity to meet people and talk about it. I will say the marketing summit that the NCAJ has put on has been outstanding. The speakers that you guys get to come in, who can actually talk about the mechanics of marketing and how to track cases and how to keep your business afloat, how to look at your new term I learned, the KPIs, the key performance indicators, you know, which I was never taught in law school and didn't go to business school. So, right, Amber? Like KPIs don't roll off of your tongue, I don't imagine.
No, that's one of those acronyms that I view with suspicion at first. Because I remember when I heard, the first time I heard the term KPI, I was like, is this going to be applied to me? How am I supposed to fulfill this if I don't understand what it is? So yeah, we have had really, really great response from Strategy Summit. And that's definitely part of it is, gosh, because the business of law, like every other field, is changing so much. You know, and trying to keep up with the pace of, you know, artificial intelligence being part of the mix. And like, just from a marketing standpoint, that it's just everything's changing. The speed of the algorithms are changing, or it's just, so that's great. We were really gratified at how well received Strategy Summit has been.
Yeah. And so also, I mean, why would you go it alone? Why would you be like, I don't need NCAJ. I don't need to have access to the smartest lawyers in the state who are also running their own law firms and dealing with my same problems. I'm just going to do it on my own because that's how I roll. I mean, I don't know why you would limit your resources in that way, especially when it's so accessible with the listserv and with being able to reach out to other attorneys, how much help you can get. I mean, just things like dealing with difficult clients. Things like securing evidence and laying a foundation to get it admitted. He's passed now, but Joe Roberts, one of the attorneys in the state, his son Scott's a great attorney. I was at a CLE and he was like, here's how I work to get evidence from my doctors. Here's how I do my affidavit. Here's how I approach their assistant to see the best way to get it signed. Here's how I present it to the defense attorney. Here's the foundation I laid to get it admitted into evidence. I mean, you know, I was like, okay, a whole bunch of notes. And, you know, some practices you're like, yeah, I don't need that. I'll throw that away. But you can just pick up these gems that are so helpful to everyday things in your practice.
Right. Tricks of the trade that somebody else has already figured out. Yeah, that's invaluable. It really is. I mean, any field, I think, but certainly for this specific practice area, definitely. So you are a very busy woman. You're running two law firms now?
I am, yeah. We run two law firms. So Ramsey does the work comp and the catastrophic PI, and Dooney Ramsey and Hunt does more soft tissue chiropractic cases. It's fun to run two.
And you are, as I mentioned, involved in a number, not just NCAJ, you're involved in a number of organizations that serve workers' comp and the practice that you do. So how do you stay recharged and stay up for the fight?
Yeah, so let me give a shout out to my softball team, Mojo's co-ed softball team, still playing after 30-something years together, some of us have been. So
that is amazing.
Yeah. We have our softball night, which is always good. So that certainly keeps me going. The other thing, Amber, is I've been real fortunate to be able to represent professional athletes. So I'm on the NFLPA, the Professional Players Association, that represents the players in the collective bargaining agreement. And I've been able to represent some professional athletes in workers' compensation cases. So some Carolina Panthers, some Charlotte football clubs, some Hurricanes players, and an honest ton of minor league baseball, lacrosse. And I didn't know this till recently. We have professional rugby here in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. I think I did read that. So I was like, what? That's amazing.
Wow.
We used to have professional or semi-pro cricket as well.
My gosh, I did not know that.
Because in Cary, Morrisville, I think, in Morrisville, there's a big Southeast Asian population. And so there was, they may not have been, their franchise may not have been renewed. But for a while, there was professional cricket as well.
So those cases can get complex. Jurisdictional issues, you know, hired here, injured here, living here, getting treatment all across the country, having to figure out how your knee injury client who is, you know, injured with the Panthers, now he's living in Texas. Where in Sugarland are you able to get an orthopedic doctor who will take North Carolina workers' comp to treat him? Interaction with a collective bargaining agreement. Are there credits? Are there injury protection, injury grievances? How do they interact with the workers' compensation statute? I mean, all of that is can be very complex and challenging, not to mention that the players often have multiple injuries. So not uncommon for us to have one player who has four or five different injuries, different injury dates, different dates in and out of work, different providers for medical treatment. So just juggling all those balls, keeping them all in the air, seeing how they interact with each other and how they change is sort of an ever-changing thing. And that's that keeps you engaged.
So it's kind of like watching my son play video games. He keeps leveling up and it keeps getting harder and that keeps him going.
Yeah, it keeps him engaged. He has to add one from what he knew in the first level, but now he has to add these four other moves. Not that I'm a video game expert in any way.
No, I never really mastered the whole joystick thing, which is another thing that, well, that is different for this generation than ours.
I'm good at some things, but my kids completely laugh. Because when they were playing Minecraft and I was like, I could do this. This is like putting things together. That's exciting. I dug a hole and couldn't hop out. And so they were just like, okay, Mom, we're done.
I tried to play Minecraft with my son during the pandemic and I kept drowning. I could not get out of the water. It was hopeless.
Get out of the water. And you're like, I'm trying to get out of the water.
It was entertaining for a minute. Well, Martha, thank you so much for being on the podcast today and for all that you give to NCHA and being involved in sharing your knowledge and of all the different levels that you're at.
It's been really fun to chat with you, Amber. I appreciate it.
Thanks. If you would like to register for the CLE Workers' Comp Roundtable, if you are a member of the Workers' Comp section, you can go to ncaj.com/events. It will be at NCA headquarters in Raleigh on April 10, and it is in person only, no virtual. Got to be there. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to this channel.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Voices of NCAJ. For more information on the North Carolina Advocates for Justice and how to join or support NCAJ, please visit our website at www.ncaj.com.